What's up, world? It's your boy, Mr. Heard, live and in full effect. Shout out to all of the supporters, everybody who's been visiting the website, www.daus.me. Shout out to all of my supporters who have been following on Twitter, Reverb Nation, SoundCloud. Thanks for purchasing the music on Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, and Tidal. You know, so everybody who's been looking me up in all of these different places and keeping track with Mr. Heard and the growth of the Divine Artistiana Society, I appreciate you. It's a lot going on in our city. It's a lot going on right now in this country. I just wanted to take a second to kind of share a bit of my perspective on the whole policing job. Most of the times when we hear people talk about policing, especially those from those people of color or those who are melanated, they tend to focus on the brutality factor, you know. And it's hard to overlook the brutality that we witness, those who are of African descent and those who are Aborigine, those who originated in North America. And those who are mixed between the two, those who originated in America and those who are from Africa who are mixed. It's a difficult thing that we face here in this country. The mistreatment from the police, you know, cops, officers, law enforcement. It is a harsh thing. And it has been since the creation of the police force itself. And so it has its history in this oppression, you know, this over monitoring of people who are darker skinned than those who are lighter skinned. That's a reality, I think. But one of the biggest issues we have now is that the job has grown, though it started kind of as a, hey, we're going to police these black folks, and we'll just use black as a term that everyone understands now, so we're not confusing people. There's always been this attention to black folks in policing. Regardless of that, the job has grown from policing, you know, just these black folks, you know, to actually enforcing laws, to serving the public, to, you know, sometimes being a counselor even, you know, and that's not really the job. So it's grown. It started as something, it's grown, and now it's grown beyond that initial growth. And I think we have to consider that whenever we talk about policing as a job. And that's really what I want to focus on now. I don't want to focus on how police brutalize. That's not what this quick talk is about. I just want to point out the difficulty of the job. I want to talk about policing as a job and the difficulties of that. I also want to talk about the amount of courage that is necessary for any individual, any race, male or female, how much courage it takes to enter the to enter law enforcement. I know for a fact, if we went to most people and asked them to join the police force, they would come up with an excuse as to why they can't become an officer of the law. They would say things most of the time like, oh, well, you know, I can't be a pig, or I can't support the police because of how they treat people. But the truth is, and they won't say it, is most people don't have the courage that it takes to be a police officer. And so I want to say thank you to all of the officers that I know who have that courage to actually do the job. There's a lot of encounters that go untalked about, unmentioned, where officers are actually the ones who are the heroes. And again, their courage isn't talked about. Their bravery isn't often talked about unless it's like, oh, this officer stopped the bank from being robbed. Unless it's something that ends up being newsworthy or makes the news, no one talks about it. But my point is that, or my belief or my feeling is that, my opinion is that policing, good policing, is always newsworthy, every inch of it. You know, whether it be a police officer taking a bullet for someone or an officer just doing his job the way it should be done, minus the negative injustices that sometimes occur from officers to civilians, if I worded that right, you know. But so I believe that every officer, when he gets out of his, when he wakes up, gets out of his bed, you know, puts on that uniform and that shield, and he travels to his base or wherever he's going to be operating from, receives his orders, and goes and proceeds, goes out into the public, you know, looks after the people, you know what I'm saying? He makes sure no crimes are going to be going on. He uses discernment. All of that is newsworthy, in my opinion. I think that officers have one of the toughest jobs in the world, and we do not give them enough credit. I also think they are underpaid for what they do. You know, you technically ask them to go out and be what people perceive as superheroes in a way. You ask them to kind of be like, you know, and this isn't by law, but this is what people perceive in a way. They expect the police officers to be Marvel superheroes, you know? How much do you pay someone to be a Marvel superhero? How much do you pay someone to, you know, stop problems before they occur? How much do you pay someone to disarm individuals? You know, how much do you pay someone to end up in any unexpected scenario any given day of their job? How much do you pay that person, you know? So if you're working at Kmart, you know, the amount of things that you can encounter as a Kmart employee is limited. If you work at a McDonald's, the amount of troubleshooting you'll have to do in a day is limited. As an officer of the law, you know, there's really, you know, countless situations you can end up in. So it's almost no amount of training that can prepare an officer for what his job really is. You know, he can prepare for what the paper documentation says at the academy. He can prepare for what some of the other officers around him, his peers, prepare him for. But the actual real life random roll of the dice, day-to-day encounters that every officer, you know, is subject to, you know, you can't control that. You can't prepare for that. And I think that is something that we always need to remember when we talk about officers and the jobs they have to do. Even if you say, well, there's officers who are racist. Okay, people can be racist, guys. I don't know if y'all know that about the world, but people can be racist. So imagine the racist officer and the difficulty the racist officer has to feel or has to deal with when he, as a racist, have to go into a world where people expect him to not be a racist. My point is, it's a really tough job for whomever decides to do it. And I hope that we can take from this podcast just that we can just a little bit of encouragement to reconsider officers and the difficulties that they face. And before we say, you know, they should know better and they should do things differently, really think about what it would be like to be an officer of the law wearing the shield. You know, put yourself in each individual's shoes, whether you think an officer is racist, whether you think an officer is a bigot, sexist. Be willing as an individual to put yourself in that person's shoes and say, what must it be like? What might that person be dealing with? I think if we can all start to do that, we can all start to create changes in the world that are going to help us actually versus push more of us into a corner, to box some of us out, to place stigma and blame and shame. If we want change, we have to do it with love, and I think that's possible. So shout out to all of the officers who are out there really trying to do the right thing. I'm out of here, y'all.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.